Hello, and welcome to this episode of The Financial Translator, where we discuss financial topics in layman's terms to move you from confusion to confidence on a given topic. I am your host, Kirk Krekemeyer, the principal advisor at Pebble Valley Wealth Management. We are a fee-only financial advisory firm helping our clients make informed decisions on their road toward financial security. You can find more information at pvwealthmgt.com. On today's show, I'm going to provide a market update with returns to the end of August. I also provide this monthly market update as a blog post, which you can reference, including some of the graphs and tables that I'll talk about today. The general format that I use is going to be the same, which is I will provide an update on the major asset classes and any noteworthy moves. I'll give you an update on the Treasury market and interest rate moves, comment on any recent Federal Reserve action, and then the special topic this month, I decided to talk about student loan payments, which begin after a three and a half year reprieve. As a brief legal disclaimer, my discussions here should not be construed as financial or investment advice, and each person's situation is unique. All right, let's go. So again, following the same format, if you look at my blog post, I include a table of some of the major asset classes, and I show both the monthly and year-to-date returns. And so looking at the table, you can see that overall it was a negative month. Just looking down the column, I see negatives all the way down. I guess a slight increase for high yield and currency hedged international bonds. Otherwise, everything else is negative except for cash and inflation in those two. So overall, a negative month. Recall last month, end of July, that was relative peaks. You know, things were running pretty hot into the month end, so things pull back. Looking at the table, though, you'll see some negative returns. You know, large caps down minus 1.75, small caps down 4%, just over. And then on the international equity side, developed markets down 3.8, and emerging, a lot of China news this past month, they were down 6%. So for the full month alone, those are negative enough, right? It looks pretty painful. But actually, mid-month, things were down even further. So again, like I mentioned, the relative peak from end of July, things started the month pulling back pretty substantially, and then they stabilized, and then the last week of the month here, they rallied back pretty hard. So definitely things were much worse mid-month. Also similar to last month, on the interest rate side, the 30-year bonds, if you look at the table, the 30-year Treasury return index was down over 3% again. I think it was down 2.5% last month. While the shorter end, the 5-year is what I grabbed here on the table, that was again flat. So shorter term interest rates are kind of holding steady, whereas a longer end continues to move higher, which I'll talk about a bit more in the Treasury rate section of this podcast. And then on the blog post, I also will show a graph this time of the major asset classes. I capture the major asset classes via publicly traded exchange traded funds, so you can follow along at home if you wish. And I want to emphasize again, I do show price returns here. And so some of the bond indices and even some of the international equity developed markets, if they kick off a pretty good dividend or interest income, the graph I show is only price return. So looking at it, I guess then anything's to jump out at me from an observation perspective. Again, I mentioned that mid-month pullback, so you can see that pretty easily in the graph. It's a year-to-date graph, so it's a little more granular. You can see it coming out of the gates of August. We pulled back. I mean, large caps were down probably close to 5%. Small caps even more. They were down 14 down to 6. And so, pretty big moves, 5 to 8% moves. But then they caught their legs, and the last week turned around pretty nicely. Even commodities, so commodities have been the laggard, and they continue to be the laggard on a year-to-date basis. But they're showing a reasonable sign of strength. They're approaching now, it's inside of down minus 2.9% year-to-date. These numbers are through 9-1, so it does include Friday's action. I grabbed the graphs this weekend. So that's important to note, or I guess the commodities have been sucking it up, if you will, but they are slowly pulling back as the year progresses. And then on the bond side, I guess the purple line, if you're following along there, the aggregate bond index, the U.S. aggregate bond index, that is down 1%, again, price return only through the 8 months. And so definitely indicates the interest rates have been just kind of chopping around year to date here, although, again, drifting higher, which is why you get that slight negative return. But that does exclude the interest that you earn on those. The surprise line for me is high yield. That is actually up 2% on a price return only basis. I guess the recession continues to be pushed out further. And so that market continues to hold up fairly strongly, but just got to be careful of what's to come in that market and what could happen with the price action. Moving now to the next section, I start talking about treasury rates, interest rate market. So overall, again, similar to last month, longer-term interest rates, or the long end, I call it, so the 10-year and 30-year treasury rates moving up, and the short end, the shorter term, you know, 2-year and 5-year, and even the 3-month T-bill actually is kind of plateauing here, has been relatively flat month over month. The one thing to I did mention last month that the 10 and the 30-year rates were quietly, you know, drifting higher. I'd say they weren't so quiet this month, especially the first few weeks of August. You know, those rates moved on the 10 and 30-year, you know, about 0.25 to point, it's called 0.25, so a quarter of a percent higher, which is a pretty big move for 3 weeks in the bond market. So definitely something to keep an eye on as those rates continue to hold and drift higher. 3-month T-bills are now 5.45%. So they continue to taunt your bank account. So again, make sure you check what you're earning at the bank. And 3-month T-bills paying you 5.45. Money market funds probably getting the high fours for sure. So definitely take a look at that. And then I also show, it's a treasury market, but it's the treasury inflation protected securities. So I show the TIPS real yield on there. So again, this is the coupon you get regardless. And then you get actual inflation on top of that. That current real yield for the 10-year TIP is currently 1.93, but let's just call it in that 2% zip code. So fairly high rate real yield, historically speaking, and where the Fed is at. So some interesting value out there, in my opinion anyway, on the real yields. Now shifting down to the Federal Reserve, there was no FOMC meeting this past month. And also recall at the July meeting. So the current Fed funds target where they raised, so the current Fed funds target is currently 5.25 to 5.5. But there was some interesting development this month from a FOMC/Federal Reserve perspective, and that is what's called the Jackson Hole speech or Jackson Hole Symposium. So every year the Kansas City Federal Reserve sponsors this economic symposium and more of economic topics being discussed, but the Federal Reserve chairman typically gives a speech as well. This year was no different. Everyone was waiting to hear Powell's speech. It was a bit longer than last year. Last year it was very short and to the point. Here again, still to the point. I like the way he speaks. But he was, very consistent, in my opinion. Fed Chair Powell has been very consistent. Admittedly, they were maybe late in getting started in the process, but they have been moving rates consistently, and the reasons for doing it has been stated consistently. And he states that, as he has been all along, they've done a lot. It may take a little while for the effects to take hold in the market, and so they're going to be watching it. But the one thing that definitely caught my attention, he boldly stated that the Federal Reserve's inflation target is still at 2%. The few weeks prior to the speech, they were starting to have some rumblings and some market participants and some of the media stories in the financial publications talking about maybe the Fed is going to, you know, let the target inflation rate move up to the mid twos, maybe high twos. You know, if they get below 3, maybe they'll slow down. Powell pretty much threw some ice water on that. And he said, nope, hey, our target remains 2%, and that's what we will do. So, again, expect rates to be higher for longer. Even if they don't have to raise rates from here, I don't believe they're going to be cutting, again, barring some major change in the economy, not going to be cutting rates anytime soon. And again, he emphasized that if they'll watch the data and if it warrants, if things aren't cooling down, they will raise again if they have to. I also recall, and I have a blog post on it mid-month, my mid-August blog post, I talk about different inflation readings. And so the Federal Reserve follows the PCE inflation reading. So when they talk about 2%, they're talking about PCE, not CPI. Core has remained sticky as well. So again, reference that that blog post on inflation of mine. And then, you know, what are the Fed funds futures market saying about all of this? So again, very nice tool. Big shout out to the CME Group for publishing the CME FedWatch tool. So I use that often. I reference this often. I like some of the graphs I can tease out of there. So I show in my blog post the what is the probability, again, based upon the Fed funds futures pricing, what is the implied probability given that pricing? And I went to the end of the year meeting, Fed meeting, December 13th, 2023. And up to this point, like last month when I was talking about this, it was around a 30% chance, just under a 30% chance of another hike before year end. Through the month of August, it kept going up. And right before the end of the month of August, it got close to 50%. So a 50% implied probability that they may have to do one more hike. Now that's pulled back back down below 40%, probably even close to 30%, looking at the graph here, after Friday's jobs report was released. I'm going to call it a not hot jobs report. You know, it's definitely a pretty solid report, but wasn't as hot as you know, people were expecting. Unemployment rate ticked up, but that was because of more people looking for jobs, not because of people being laid off. But nonetheless, you know, wages were a bit cooler, and so the market said, "Hey, the Fed may have to, may be able to, I should say, not raise rates, because that's what they're probably one of the main drivers is watching if there's any wage inflation to tamp down." So that is the Fed update. Next meeting is what, September 20th of 2023. So that's the next Fed meeting. The probability is pretty low for a hike that meeting. But one thing to note, that is the a meeting where they release their economic update. So it'll be interesting to see what they talk about from the dot plot, you know, where they think interest rates will be, and then the views on inflation, GDP growth, et cetera. So look out for the probably the big news coming out of that meeting will be not necessarily any rate moves. The market's not expecting it, but what they say in that economic summary of economic projections, the SEP report. And then finally, my special topic of this month, if there was one, I thought I would talk about student loans. You may remember back in March of 2020, that was when the crazy COVID hit us all. And so there was a student loan interest moratorium and payment moratorium. So people were not required to make student loan payments, and they also stopped accruing interest on their loans. And then there were repeated extensions of that and repeated extensions of that, and then they extended it a few more times. And then they extended it again to get them past the Supreme Court decision. You may or may not know or recall, but at the end of June, the Supreme Court said, no, you can't forgive these student loans. That's not in their authority. So here we are, effective September 1st. So it's happened now 5 days in. Interest is now accruing on any student loans you have. So it is now costing you to not have start paying those down. And then those first payments will begin in arrears, they call it. So October will be when payments are beginning to be required. Each person's actual payment, required payment, is going to be different depending upon when you took it out, the dollar amount, obviously, and the interest rate that you have on the loan. But I did, just as a for context, I put a table on my blog post showing what the monthly payment would be, assuming it's a new loan with a 10-year amortization period. Definitely the 10-year amortization is typical, but these are assuming that, you know, loans were just taken out, I guess even right before March of 2020. But anyway, so a $10,000 loan balance with a 4% interest would be about $100 a month. A $50,000 loan with a 5% interest is about $530 a month. And, you know, going as far as, say, a $70,000 total loan balance with a 7% interest, that's going to be around just over $800. And so, you know, regardless of size, it's, you know, not chump change. And so that is going to require people with student loans to readjust their budgets to make way for making these payments starting in October. And so we'll have to see what the impact is on consumer spending, you know, the economy, and just any pullback on any of the markets related to that. So definitely bears watching to see what that impact is. So in summary, the month of August, you saw the markets pull back. Looking at the table, it ranged from, you know, down 2% for large caps all the way to minus 6% for emerging markets. But again, mid-month, it was down even quite a bit more than that, and we pulled back some. Interest rates continue to move higher, especially in the long end. Again, similar story as last month, about a 3% loss on the 30-year Treasury index for the month alone, whereas the 5-year Treasury index was kind of flat. So curve, I guess, steepening or becoming less inverted, depending upon how you want to look at it. The Federal Reserve, the action was a speech this month, and they reiterated very strongly that 2% is their inflation target. Remember, it is the PCE gauge, but they are going to likely keep rates higher for longer than the market expects to achieve that objective. And then special topic this month, student loans. So, got student loans, those old commercials. If you have them, make sure you get your budget ready to start making those payments starting in October. All right. Well, here we are. It's in early September. So make sure you enjoy these, here in Chicago area, still warm days, but some crisp nights. And so enjoy those in the month of September here. And of course, those that enjoy it and enjoy the football season as well. All right. That's a wrap on today's topic. Thanks a lot. Thank you for listening to this episode of The Financial Translator. I hope this discussion helped clear up any confusion and will lead to more confident financial decisions. Thanks for your time, and be sure to check out all of our resources at pvwealthmgt.com. Until next time, go confidently.